A reading from the Book of Wisdom. I prayed, and understanding was given me. I called on God, and the Spirit of Wisdom came to me. I preferred her to scepters and thrones, and I accounted wealth as nothing in comparison with her. Neither did I liken to her any priceless gem, because all gold is but a little sand in her sight, and silver will be accounted as clay before her. I loved her more than health and beauty, and I chose to have her rather than light, because her radiance never ceases. All good things came to me along with her, and in her hands uncounted wealth. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the man heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to inherit the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters and mothers and children and fields, but with persecutions, and in age to come, eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Life is full of choices. We face hundreds upon thousands of choices each and every day. We choose what to wear, where to go each day, even the choice of whether or not we say good morning or to silently retreat into our own shells, it's a choice we make. I think often we even make choices without realizing it, don't you think? Today's readings are all about making choices. In the first reading from Wisdom, we hear that wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God, is preferred, is chosen over everything else. And in today's gospel, the rich man is choosing good. He calls Jesus good teacher. The man recognizes good. Perhaps he recognizes the wisdom of God incarnate in Jesus. The rich man is looking for eternal life and Isn't that the highest good one could seek to choose? And the man asks a question I think we can all relate to. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? Not what must I become, but what must I do? The man's question implies that he believes that he can do something to achieve and inherit eternal life. This initial exchange between the rich man and Jesus raises the theological question, can a person gain eternal life, or is it a gift from God? Here in this gospel, the rich man is looking for a definite answer, something you can define in black and white. And I think we can all relate to that. We are Dominicans, after all. We like black and white. But we want to know how to do things, what it takes to get them done. And it's often reflected in our work ethic, isn't it? I can remember in college, I was first posed the question, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The well-intentioned pamphlets and people who posed this question seemed to take a one-question approach to salvation. I remember even reading that one was even encouraged to write down the date when you, quote, received eternal salvation, end quote. Now, certainly, absolutely, it is necessary to have a personal relationship with our Savior. But our faith tradition, as well as authentic biblical spirituality, requires us to recognize Jesus as salvation not only for each person personally, but also as Jesus being the source of universal salvation. I can also remember evangelical preachers coming to my college campus and preaching this same question. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? As if once you did so, your salvation was all set. And that sort of hinges our salvation on our response, on our response, rather than on the unmerited, overflowing, hundredfold generosity of God. Salvation, as well as faith, is a gift from God, not something we can secure by answering a simple question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus didn't disdain or despise the young man's question. Absolutely not. The gospel tells us that Jesus looked at him with love. Jesus saw the good, genuine intention from which this question came. And no doubt, Jesus observed this rich man running. The gospel describes him running towards him. Can you imagine the president of a bank running after you in the parking lot to wish you a nice day? And he's running not in his Nikes, but in his nice dress shoes and designer suit. Well, that would be quite a sight, wouldn't it? Because rich people, we don't think of as having to need to run, do they? They don't need to chase after anyone. And, well, as far as adults, well, we hardly ever run after anyone. Maybe we seem to think it's beneath our dignity. But here's this wealthy, well-dressed young man, and he ran to Jesus. He saw an opportunity to fill a gap within himself that was just obviously empty. He saw his opportunity, and he posed his question to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answers him with the advice to keep the commandments. And when the man responds that he has observed the commandments since his youth, confirming that he has earned his wealth honestly, not through any cheating or exploitation of another person, not through defrauding, Jesus shocks him by telling the man to sell his possessions, give the money to the poor, and then come and follow him. In a sense, Jesus is asking the man to deny his sense of identity, his security and possessions, and discover a new identity as a follower of Jesus. Truthfully, I don't know how I would respond if Jesus said that statement to me. Because, frankly, I have to admit, I like my stuff. And you probably like your stuff too, right? We like our homes, our cars, our furniture. Even if we've taken that vow of poverty, we have stuff. I don't think that stuff is necessarily the problem. Jesus never said possessions were bad. In fact, Jesus relied on wealthy patrons, primarily women, to financially support him and his disciples during his earthly ministry. So I don't think the point of today's gospel is that possessions are bad, but do our possessions define us? Does our stuff, our homes, our furniture, our cars, does our stuff define ourselves? Does our stuff define ourselves? Do we blur the lines of the things of necessity with those things we just desire? Do our possessions define or distract us from entering fully into the reign of God? This is what Jesus cautioned against when he said how hard it is for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. It's hard to let go. When the disciples wonder how anyone can be saved, Jesus responds that salvation is only possible through divine grace. He says, for God, all things are possible. You see, it isn't our wealth or lack of it that will garner eternal life, nor even affirming the question of, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? No. These are human events. Eternal life is a gift given only by God. It requires trusting in God. In a sense, it's jumping and free-floating through the air without a net, without a parachute. Nothing we can do or say will gain or earn our eternal life. It's a gift. It's a gift. Freely given from God. One of the mysteries of faith is the incomprehensible generosity of God. Our first reading tells us when we choose wisdom, the type of wisdom that's mentioned in the first reading, as well as our psalm, when we choose wisdom instead of all the good things of the world, we receive good things of the world, along with wisdom itself. The gospel today asks us to relinquish all of the things we value, and when we do so, we get them back 100-fold. That's in the gospel. We get them back 100-fold. You and I are asked to make these choices and faith and trust in God. And we can never be sure of the outcome until we actually make the choice and then see what happens. We are being asked and invited today to take a step into the unknown. Yes, God does demand so much, but yet God gives so much more.